Beginning in October now, the holidays start. In fact, we saw Halloween decorations in July. They probably came out earlier than that. And so we're beginning to celebrate Halloween almost like we do Christmas. All these elaborate things, people dressing up and all this stuff for Halloween. Several years ago, we were going to be home one Christmas, and we invited several people to our home who either had no place to go or no families around and would be alone for dinner. And Logos had already closed down the building. We were only meeting once a month here. We got it all planned and we called them to confirm the time and so forth. And each one of them that was coming asked, "Who's going to be there?" And we would tell them who was going to be there. And each one of them said, "Well, I'm not coming if that person is there." These are Logos people. And I called another and I said, "Are you coming for Christmas?" Or, yeah, for Christmas. And they said, "Who's coming?" We told them, "Well, I'm not coming if they're coming." And so after the third call of that I'm not coming if someone's coming, we called everybody back and said, "We're canceling Christmas this year. We're sorry." And Herb and I got in our car with our little Happy, who was still alive then, our first Happy, and we drove out to Saguaro Lake on Christmas. We took an avocado, carrot sticks, and hard-boiled eggs, and we had Christmas dinner in the car out there because nobody wanted to have dinner with anybody. And that's the way it happens sometimes at Christmas. There was only one couple that didn't say we wouldn't come, but we explained it to them. And most of these Logos members don't attend anymore, so just to show you that, if you're looking to find out who they are. Anyway, we had a wonderful Christmas out there by Saguaro in our car. You have to be willing to change your plans and do things differently. And this year, we canceled Thanksgiving because of a similar thing. Only this time it was our family in conflict with each other, mad at each other for various reasons. Now, we've seen these Christmas movies over the years where the families fight, but we don't have that kind of a family. We have our own fantasy family, the perfect family sitting around the table, eating food, having a wonderful time. And none of our family would be like that, right? So we kid a lot about our fantasy family, and I'll say to Herb, "Oh, well, there goes our fantasy family." You set yourself up for disappointments if you have expectations of Christmas and Thanksgiving and the holidays. I see so many of you shaking your heads like that. We're not the only ones that have gone through this kind of thing. It will never happen to us again, canceling Thanksgiving or Christmas, because we are going to go somewhere and hide and take our avocado and carrot sticks and egg, and we're going to eat somewhere out by the lake. Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks for our many blessings, and maybe calling our families and friends who live far from us and telling them how thankful we are for them. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do at Thanksgiving? We get a lot of calls like that, I'm sure many of you do, saying, "I'm so glad you're my friend. I'm so glad we met. I'm so glad we've had these years together." And we have a lot of friends that call us that way, and that's really comforting and nice, and especially when our family's so scattered around. And despite how difficult our lives might be sometimes, we're blessed and honored to be alive and enjoy the abundance of the world. Aren't we all really blessed? I mean, despite everything going on, because not everyone is so lucky and so blessed. So many people are living in poverty and pain and all kinds of things. I read of a man in India who is considered a lower caste, whose job is to stand in sewers and clean them out, and sometimes he works day after day, week after week, in chest-high sewage. That's his job. Or the women and children who rummage through the garbage to find bits of food and clothing. You've seen that. You've seen them on these big piles of garbage, just eking out a living. And there are people, now this is one, it's kind of funny, but not. There are people whose full-time job is to clean up elephant poop. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. And Christmas, I can remember times when there were so many gifts under the tree that the children broke them walking over them and had so many toys they couldn't remember. Any of you have ever been through that? Yeah. How many families take time anymore to read the Christmas story during the holidays? Most of us are too busy for that. And few of us bake much anymore and take cookies to our neighbors and friends, or even know our neighbors and friends. We don't even know our neighbors and friends. Several Christmases, Bob and Mari Messenger came to our house, once with Marcy and Paul, and caroled at our front door. And those were two or three of the best Christmases. They were singing out there, and it was like it ought to be at Christmas. And we really appreciate that. Thank you all so much. Each of us has a responsibility to stop waiting for somebody else to rescue us and make us happy. We have got to make ourselves happy. We've got to be willing to change plans and move on a shifting carpet, because things are not always going to stay the same. And it's nice to think that there's a fantasy family we each have, but sometimes that's not true, and some people just don't have any families at all. So we have to take responsibility and stop waiting for others to make us happy. Bishop T.D. Jakes says, "Gray hair starts showing up and we realize we're running out of time." And that's what's happening to all of us. We are running out of time. The hourglass is slowly dropping the sand, and we are running out of time. Doesn't matter if you're 20 or 90. We're running out of time. We've got to make every minute count. What can we do to make our holidays and our lives, our very existence, more joyful? You'll have to answer that. Each person has to answer that on their own. But one of the things is we can change our expectations. Instead of waiting on somebody else to make us happy, to do things, we need to take control of things and plan things and do things and be willing to change things when that comes up too. It's easier said than done. There's a lot of confusion on the planet right now. Has anybody noticed? Is it worse than decades ago? Probably. Maybe not. Possibly. Probably. It's a strong soul lesson for all of us to stay loving and forgiving and calm in a changing, toxic, and confusing world. And that is what we're in right now. You know, we have friends that vote differently from us, that watch news, and we all have this conflict going on about it. We have to remain loving and forgiving in a climate of hate and anger. That is not always easy to do. Not be a doormat and let everybody walk all over us. Some of our expectation of others need to be readjusted. Even our expectations of ourselves need to be readjusted. We expect others to be more loving, compassionate, and forgiving than we ourselves are, but we expect that of them. Again, forgiving isn't forgetting or saying that what happened is okay or acceptable. It's like forgiving the sinner and not the sin. Master Ko says, this is one of my favorite quotes from him. He's the Pranic Healer Master, and he is just one of the most incredible healing channels I've ever seen. He says, "We must forgive everyone for everything, but sometimes while forgiving, we may need to take out a restraining order." That's a lot different from being a doormat and let people walk all over you. Mm-hmm. A restraining order, I like that. In other words, not being a doormat, but a victor. Bishop Jake also says, "It doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish." Not where you start. You have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. And I want to read you this quote on thoughts, which is really a wonderful quote by Joe Dispenza. And somebody here was reading one of his books. I saw it.
Marianne.
Oh, yes, Marianne, yeah. "Every time we have a thought, we make a chemical. If we have a good, elevated thought or happy thoughts, we make chemicals that make us feel good or happy. And if we have negative thoughts or bad thoughts or insecure thoughts, we make chemicals that make us feel exactly the way we are thinking." So every chemical that is released in the brain is literally a message that feeds the physical body, the spiritual body, and the mental body. Now, the body begins to feel the way we are thinking. So nothing slips. We are experiencing everything we have created and everything that we are thinking. Nobody slides, my friend, as Willie Nelson says. You don't break habits, you substitute good habits for bad. So of your 60 to 80,000 thoughts, you can substitute more positive thoughts for some of the negative. It's just habit. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Many of us have loved ones and friends that have died this last year or the last few years. And we grieve for them, of course. We will maybe always grieve for them. But because they're absent from the body does not mean they're absent. They're present with the Lord. They're around us all the time. And a lot of our grief would be healed if we would recognize that. I've been reading Chicken Soup for the Soul, Christmas Miracles. Holidays are a difficult time for those of us who have had loved ones or pets die. We know they've gone to a better place. But in our mind, a better place is with us, right? When somebody said, oh, they're in a better place, I always think, no, the better place is right here in my arms. Oh, well, your son's in a better place. No, a better place would be in my arms, not in heaven. So we have to change, whoops, two microphones here. So we have to change our thinking on this. In Chicken Soup for the Soul, a woman's mother had died 4 months before and her children were in other states and couldn't come home. And this Christmas was particularly difficult. She was missing her mother so much and heartbroken at the first Christmas without her. And her mother had given her a lovely ruby set in a pendant for her 40th anniversary a year or so before. The stone that's traditionally associated with that year, the ruby. The first time she wore it, the ruby had come loose from the setting and was never found, which left her distraught. She had checked the carpets, closets, everywhere for the ruby, and it was gone. That Christmas, sad and lonely without her children and with her mother, recently died, she asked God for a sign. It's always iffy asking for signs, but we all do it. She asked for a sign that her mother was okay and in heaven and that God loved her and heard her. Haven't you all ever asked for signs in your saddest moments, of course? On a Sunday morning before Christmas, the ruby appeared on the couple's bedspread out of nowhere. Suspicious, she asked her husband if he had found it and placed it there. And he came in, looked her in the eye and said, I promise by God, I have not seen that ever since you lost it. I did not do that. And she knew the truth when she heard it and knew that he hadn't done that. But she had made the bed herself a half an hour before the ruby appeared on the top of the bedspread. Wow. She had had her sign and she was greatly comforted. She sought no other explanation and she needed none. She knew that she had been heard. This story meant a lot to me because years ago, I had some amethyst earrings and one of them disappeared and I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. We looked all around, never could find it. Years passed and one morning on Easter, we were getting ready to go across on Astor to the Logo Center and I looked on my dresser and there was this earring. No one in the house had found it. It had apported or appeared on its own. A sign to me that not only was my son Stephen okay, because I had prayed and asked for some kind of a sign for him that very time. And I checked with everybody in the house. Nobody had seen it. I just cried and thanked Stephen for apporting that and making that happen, like a confirmation that he was okay. So many things we could call miracles if we'd look for them. We just don't look at them. And sometimes people will have a miracle and they'll start analyzing. No, well, this must have been this or that. Take the miracle. Embrace it. It's okay. We must not allow the clock and the calendar to blind us to the fact that each moment of life is a miracle and a mystery and a blessing. Each moment, each breath. Matthew 19:29 tells us, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. That means no matter how much you love your family and everyone else, those things can change. You can be on the outs and not speak to your children or your loved ones. But those who are doing a work, even if everyone turns against them, and I think about my family in Chattanooga that are born-again Christians. I went to church with my nephew when I was down visiting him after my sister died. And my nephew's wife said, "Would you like to go to church with me?" And so I think I told some of you the story. And I said, "Sure." And I went, and she said, "I think you'll love our minister." And his topic that Sunday was gay and lesbians and how we should be nice to them, even though they are not going to be saved and they are not going to have much of a life because the sins they are committing are so bad. And I sat there, and it was all I could do not to stand up and say, wait a minute. I have a daughter that's gay. Sometimes any of these things can happen, and all is not lost. If we keep God number one in our life, no matter what is happening around us, no matter how many members of our family have different religious beliefs, and I probably won't go to church again in Chattanooga, but no matter how much they disagree with us and all that, we need to let ourselves be loving and caring. Sometimes those relationships don't continue. My sister didn't speak to me for 10 years before she died, and she didn't speak to me after she died. So those things happen sometimes with people we love. We cannot make everybody think like we do or feel like we do. It only takes a thought. Now, this is your Christmas gift. It only takes a thought and asking your angel to be there, and your angels will be right with you. You have a guardian angel all the time with you, trying to help you, trying to get through our thick skulls and help us. We don't listen. But all we have to do is call on them, think of them, and they're there. And they're unemployed. We were kidding about that this morning. We have a lot of unemployed angels. Let's send them out on assignment. Let's employ them ourselves and do something with that information. We are God's gift to each other. We really are. It is so wonderful to be able to worship together and to have different views and someone not say, "Oh, you believe in reincarnation, you're going to the devil." It's so nice to have friends like all of you that don't say that, or at least don't say it to our faces. So that's good. Like a master composer, God brings all the instruments together, each with a different tone, each playing a different part, and makes it all turn out beautifully. We are God's beloved, and there are miracles all around us every moment of the season and beyond into the new year. We are surrounded with miracles. We are surrounded with angels. This is a glorious time. Just as you have the ability to change your mind, you have the ability to change the state of your mind. Happiness and joy are simply states of mind. Happiness and joy, claim them, states of mind. They can be enjoyed anytime you want. You can absolutely make the holidays joyful by embracing change and choosing happiness and joy with each thought. We have that power to change the way we think, to change the world by the way we think. God bless you, each and every one.